So, high-level overview of the Inflation Reduction Act, it had two parts to it. It had the revenue raisers, and it had the tax expenditures. And the revenue raisers, to the tune of about $700 billion, were comprised of two main elements. One is a 15% alternative minimum tax on C corporations with book income in excess of $1 billion. And there have been various estimates of the number of taxpayers in the United States that are going to feel this tax, that are going to have to pay this tax, and the estimates vary somewhere between 100 to 200 taxpayers. So basically, a small group of very large C corporations are subject to this this alternative minimum tax. And then the second revenue raiser is a 1% excise tax on stock buybacks. So, but the bulk of the bill is a slew of tax expenditures related to clean energy and climate change incentives. And they cover renewable energy, carbon capture, hydrogen, et cetera, and the new provisions related to monetizing tax credits. You might say, well, why did Congress feel that it was necessary to enact these provisions? And the problem has been that even though we've had some energy tax incentives previously, they have been narrow in scope, they haven't been rich enough, and one of the main problems I'm sure you've picked up on is the fact that the incentives kept having sunsets and phase-outs and having to be re-upped and re-extended. So I think the statistic is that between 2012 and 2019, the production tax credit for renewable energy had to be extended, you know, but legislative action was needed to extend the credit five times in the course of 7 years. So all those restrictions on the incentives made them less effective than would be ideal. And so the Inflation Reduction Act has attempted to cure that by extending the viability of these credits through at least 2033, which is, you know, a significant extension. And they may well extend beyond 2033 because the act actually provides that the credits do not sunset until the aggregate United States greenhouse gas emissions are less than 25% of the emissions that we had in 2022. So that's a huge reduction that has to happen in order for these credits to sunset. These are all good things. If you look at the scope of the activities that are covered in the Inflation Reduction Act, there's just a long, long list of all the different types of technologies. So it's not just wind and solar. It's also things like battery storage, geothermal, renewable natural gas, sustainable aviation fuel, hydropower, and of course, as it would be near and dear to the hearts of those who live in and around Austin, electric and fuel cell vehicles. So let's talk a little bit about some of the basic concepts that are involved with taking tax credits. I am going to assume that this audience is very familiar with the concept that a tax credit is worth more than a tax deduction. A dollar of a tax credit reduces your tax liability by a dollar as compared to a deduction, which will only save you whatever your tax rate is times the amount of the deduction. Credits prior to the Inflation Reduction Act have only been useful to the extent that you had a tax liability against which to use the tax credit. If you didn't have a tax liability, you could carry the credit forward to a year, hope to find a year when you did have the tax liability, but as an immediate matter, the tax credit wouldn't be valuable to you because you wouldn't have a tax liability against which you could use it. And as we'll get to, the Inflation Reduction Act has really changed the waterfront in that regard. So we're going to talk about the new ways that you can use these credits even in the absence of a tax liability. There are two main types of business tax credits.